Eric Dawson's Talking Politics and Breaking Down the Issues. Coming to you live from Essex County, New Jersey, this is All Things Political.
Hey, this is Eric Dawson. This is All Things Political. This is Eric Dixon. How you doing, E?
What's going on, E?
Hey, man, I can't call. A lot of craziness, brother. A lot of craziness. A lot of people upset now. You know, I mean, everybody talk about a rigged system. Everybody's concerned about equitability. And then you have the director of the FBI. Well, even before that, right? You had the president hanging out for 30 minutes on a private plane, a Loretta Lynch, you know, parked his plane next to hers on the tarmac, had a 30-minute discussion, you know. And I don't know if you heard, you know, when Hillary Clinton was asked about it, she said, "Oh, it was a happenstance meeting." But that's not true, because what was said by Bill Clinton was that he knew, or by people, it said that he knew that her plane, that Loretta's plane, was going to be landing, and was late. He was due to take off. He held his plane there waiting for her, so it was not happenstance.
Not at all.
Then. He said that Loretta said that they talked about grandchildren and golfing. There is still no evidence that he was in Arizona golfing, right? So what was he doing in Arizona? So they never really dealt with that. She simply said, I want you to understand this, right? I made a mistake. I would never do it again. Now you got Hillary Clinton. I made a mistake. I would never do it again. And so that seems to be the mantra, man. You know, you make a mistake, and the mistake is wiped away. But the question that we're here to talk about today, E, was it a mistake?
Well, let's figure. Just like you said, if she decided through her own auspices to hook up a private server in a closet in somebody's house in Denver, right? She decided to do that. Nobody else decided to do that, you know? And again, I'm not the biggest Hillary Clinton fan, and I'm not the biggest Hillary Clinton hater, you know, but at the end of the day, I didn't, call sanction that she get a server in Denver. I'm sure you didn't. She did. So she made a mistake. She made a mistake. How did she make a mistake knowing when she did it, that at the end of the day, none of her predecessors had done such a thing? Now, people in government at high levels had done that, you know. However, nobody at the Secretary of State level, that, you know, number three in line to the presidency, has set up a private server to do the business of the people of the United States of America. So, you know, now when they say that, okay, when we found the server, it was fragmented into millions of pieces, and we had to throw this together and throw that together. Okay, who chose to do that?
Let's back up, because remember, she said she was authorized, but she still has not mentioned who authorized her. Right? If she were authorized, right? That she didn't admit, and so here's my question. When she was questioned by the FBI, right, because when you're questioned by the feds, it's a federal offense to lie to them.
Absolutely.
When you questioned by them, did they ask her? I'm curious, because my man left, right? He held his little presser and walked right off the stage, took not one single question. Into the sunset, bro. And I'm asking, you know, did you ask him, you know, Comey is his name, I'm saying, did you ask her in your interrogation of her or questioning of her who authorized it? And what was the answer to that? But listen,
well,
man, I want to play a couple.
Go ahead. I'm not sure because, I mean, you got to remember, she was dragged out, you know, in front of Congress, you know, to answer questions for, what, 2 hours or whatever, you know, in this, you know, at the beginning of this fiasco, you know. But think about it. It's a year later, dog. Okay? She made her mistake a year ago. And she's just now, while she's in position to be the next president of the United States, is being called on the rug about it to where it should be criminal charges or civil charges, some kind of charges supposed to come out of this. And I say that because if you go out and you walk out of a store at a candy bar in Newark, New Jersey, guess what? They're not just going to question you. They're going to arrest you. So if you did something wrong, no matter what you – I mean, and nominal as a candy bar is the point. You know, if you do something as nominal as going into a candy store, walking out with a candy bar without paying for it, and liable to go to jail and serve time for that or do community service for that, something on the level of what that is not comparable. So why shouldn't she be subject to the same rules and regulations that every United States citizen – is supposed to be upheld to? That's my question.
Right. So here's something from the National Review. The headline says, FBI rewrites federal law to let Hillary off the hook. It says, there's no way of getting around this. According to Director James Comey, a former colleague of his, the guy who wrote the article, says a former colleague of his, he said Hillary Clinton checked every box required for a felony violation of Section 793F of the Federal Penal Code, Title 18. Says with lawful access to highly classified information, she acted with gross negligence in removing and causing it to be removed from its proper place of custody, and she transmitted it and caused it to be transmitted to others not authorized to have it. That's it. Right? They're saying that you know, she was grossly negligent. Now, grossly negligent does not mean, now, if you listen to some of the pundits, people, the pundits will say, well, they didn't prove anything. Well, grossly negligent or gross negligence doesn't require the proof of anything beyond that. So if you look up the mere definition of gross negligence, the mere definition of gross negligence simply says, I was trying to find a definition, brother. My Google normally works. Here we go. So the definition of gross negligence is a conscious and voluntary disregard of the need to use reasonable care, which is likely to cause, I'm sorry?
Or judgment, care or judgment, right?
Right, care or judgment, which is likely to cause foreseeable grave injury or harm to persons, property, or both. So, the brother said that, you know, I'm talking about Comey, he said that he could not determine whether or not her server or emails were hacked, right?
Right.
Okay. So could that likely cause foreseeable grave injury or harm to persons, property, or both?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. So, you know, so there are a bunch of issues, man.
Could be an operative term. I mean, let's face it, dude. You know, if again, I mean, I have to pound on this. If Hillary Clinton was a Shaniqua from the block, she's in jail, bro. I mean, that when you said property, damage to property, that is the United States property that she was dealing with. And she took control of that property and did what she wanted to do with it. And that's not fair because at the end of the day, the people of the United States have the right to have secure information at that level of government. I'm sorry. I mean, if it could be hacked, I mean, let's face it. He didn't say it wasn't hacked. He didn't say it was hacked. He said it was possible. So if it's possible, That means that he took the middle of the fence situation and said, you know what, I'm not going to make this choice. Just like he said that nobody knew that I was going to make this statement right now, which I find hard to believe. So they didn't know they were going to meet on the tarmac. They didn't know he was going to make this statement. And last week when her husband was lobbying for her at the highest levels of government to have this thing squashed or quelled or whatever it is, guess what? I think he got a job done.
Right.
Look at
so I'm going to play a clip.
Job done.
So I'm going to play a clip on what gross negligence means. Now, these clips come from an interview that was done with Rudy Giuliani. And what I want to say first and foremost is I'm not a big Rudy Giuliani fan, although I got to tell you, he did clean up Times Square. And if you're around my age, which is 53, you knew what Times Square was like when you drove your car through the Lincoln Tunnel. And when you came out the other side, prostitutes were laying across your car, you know, begging for money and strolling up and down there, right? So he cleaned that up, and I give him credit for that. There are a lot of other things he didn't do well, but he did that well. Anyway, let's play this clip on gross negligence.
This is to me, an extremely hard conclusion to justify, specifically Section 793, subsection F, which makes gross negligence a crime.
Right.
And Jim Comey did say she was extremely negligent.
Well, okay.
Well, that's gross negligence.
Now, that's exactly what Comey said. He said she was extremely negligent. In his own words, out of his own mouth, during the press conference, he continued to say she was extremely negligent. Extremely negligent. So...
In all fairness, he also did say, though, that it was not his decision. He was in a position to give recommendations, and he held the recommendation to what it was. He doesn't see where, you know, she should be brought up on charges or have a jury put together for her, for this case. So, I mean, if he didn't take full responsibility, then now who does it lie on to make those determinations if he's not the guy?
Well.
So they're kicking the can down the road like they've been doing for a whole year at the end of the day. Look at it. They're still kicking the can. It's still a possibility that she can be held liable for gross negligence.
Well, but okay. But so here's the question. Oh, here's the statement that I'm going to make. Loretta Lynch said that she was going to go based on the recommendation of the FBI. Now, I want you to understand again, she met with Bill Clinton, right? She said after that meeting that she was going to go based on the recommendation of the FBI. So now the top dog in the FBI comes out and says, I don't think that you should indict. So what I'm suggesting, Eric, is that what happened was, I'm sorry?
Smells fishy to me.
Great. I'm suggesting that what happened was Loretta Lynch, because she's under fire, right, based on having had that meeting with Bill Clinton, she can't just come out and arbitrarily say something, so she needs help. And so the help that she gets is that the director of the FBI says, I don't think you should indict. And then she says, well, they did a complete and thorough investigation. They investigated hundreds of people and thousands of emails. And according to Comey, they went through and read all of her emails. So based on that, you know, well, he's in the best position to determine that. And so if he doesn't believe that the United States has a case, then I'm not going to indict.
Right.
Right. So what I want to do now is I want to play clip number two. If I can find clip number two, and I don't have these in any particular order. So here's what I want to say about, you know, whether or not, because you'll hear, folks, when you listen to the idea of intent, because that'll be what comes up, that they'll be talking about intent. And what I'm suggesting is that there is no reason to provide intent. And here's that clip.
He actually clearly concluded that she violated 18 United States Code Section 793 when he said she was extremely negligent. That statute doesn't require intent. It requires just gross negligence. And gross negligence is defined by judges in their charge as extremely negligent.
Okay. So, what Rudy Giuliani said is right, that once he said she was extremely negligent, that that is the charge that judges give to juries to find gross negligence, and that you don't have to find intent, that she didn't have to intend to do anything. Just the fact that she was negligent or grossly negligent, or in the director's case, extremely negligent, all of that puts her at risk for being indicted. Yet, he said, "What? Not going to indict."
He recommends that she not be indicted. That's what he said.
Wait, but based on what, E? But based on what?
Well, obviously things unsaid. Obviously things have been seen. You know, let's face it, E. I mean, we're not talking about the local school board race. We're talking about the presidency of the United States, where you have the president complicit in assisting in this sham. I'm sorry, President Obama. At the end of the day, you know, you're helping this lady skirt the system of jurisprudence in our country in order that she be elected president of the United States. And, you know, I'm not Donald Trump. I'm not Bernie Sanders. But, you know, if I were, I would be up in arms about it. Because if it were them, quite possibly, you know, if they didn't have an ex-president husband to go out and do a bidding for her at the highest levels of government, maybe they wouldn't see the same result. You know, possibly they wouldn't. More likely they wouldn't. You know, I see where the argument for her being dishonest or, you know, being able to circumvent, you know, the law to her own means and make money out of it, she's going to make millions of dollars out of this. Trust me. You know, the president backing you, everybody on the Democratic side backing you, yeah. You know, and she walks away from it. Again, if it was me, I'd be in chains.
Right. So
I'd be in chains, see? Let's face it.
So
for having a server.
And so here's the next clip, right? So let's assume that intent was required, right? So we've already established. I want to kind of go through this, like, you know, I'm doing my Perry Mason thing, right? So we're laying a framework for, right?
Hey, look, the argument is. Go ahead, yeah, I apologize.
Hmm?
I said,
no,
argument is ironclad, man. It's ironclad. I mean, what can you say? There's nothing else to say about it. I mean, she walked away.
Well, but you
listen. She's going to walk away.
Let me ask you
a question.
But you know what
it's like,
bro?
Do you see Bernie
what's
Sanders?
What's your favorite football team? What's your favorite football team?
I'm a Giant fan, bro.
All right. So if you're a Giant fan, I'm a Jet fan. I mean, yeah, I'm a Redskin, Philadelphia Eagle, or Dallas Cowboy fan. Which one do you despise the most?
Dallas Cowboys.
Okay. So I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan. You're a New York Giant fan, E. We're sitting there watching the game, right? Ref throws a flag, calls holding on the Giants when you guys had third and one and your dude just broke for 20 yards, right?
Okay.
You're going to look, and unless it's a blatant hold, you're going to be yelling, that wasn't a hold, right? Now, because I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan, what am I going to be yelling? Yeah, it was a hold.
It was a hold, right.
Right. It was a hold. So what I'm suggesting is you have teams here. So you have the Hillary Clinton team and you have the other team. And so irrespective, so I appreciate you saying it's ironclad, the evidence is all here, the proof is in the put. But the fact is you have to almost have a flagrant foul, right, where the dude is on the ground, E,
right,
bleeding out before Hillary Clinton fans are going to say it's a foul.
Right.
So I'm trying to lay this, and so I'm gonna play this one, and I'm gonna let you go ahead and respond to this. So here's how they say you prove intent. In the event that intent, which I'm calling a flagrant foul, is required, which again they say it isn't. But here we go.
This whole idea that you can't prove intent. Jim knows that we usually prove intent through circumstantial evidence. The circumstances of extreme negligence over and over and over again is the best proof of intent. Also, her destruction of 34,000 emails also proves intent. People have been charged under these statutes for far less than this, and it's going to be almost impossible in the future for the FBI to justify a charge under any of these statutes.
So there's a lot there.
Right.
You're saying people have already been charged under this statute for far less. So now if you go back and look at, because in law, what do? They say precedent, right? So if you
Right.
look at precedent and you say, well, people have been charged for far less than this, then why wouldn't we charge her, right? And
Right.
if you look and say intent is when you do it over and over and over again, circumstantial, right? You look and say the person did it, they did it again, they did it again, they did it again.
Right.
And then he says, and then she deleted 34,000 email addresses. So that
now,
to
me,
a long...
To me, that's intent. That's intent, because you're looking to hide something. I mean, because if it was a private server or not, if it was doing the business of the United States government, that server should have not been tampered with. The information and the data provided in that server should not have been tampered with. And the fact that she tampered with it shows that there was intent to hide something. So if you want to say intent, that's all the intent that you need to me, because it's circumstantial. What was she trying to do? I don't know. I just came up that she was trying to hide something. But quite possibly she wasn't. Maybe she was trying to do something else. But she intended, in my opinion, to do something by eliminating those 30,000 emails. And the fragmented ones that they did find and were able to put together, there were still things that were marked as top secret that should have not been taken out of her domain, so to speak, that was allowed out of her domain. So, I mean, not only do you have intent, you have actual breach being done. And it was breach that she committed. Let's not even talk about who else might have been able to jump into her server and find out what was going on in her server. So, I mean, look at it. The fact of the matter is that she was grossly negligent, and on top of being grossly negligent, she tried to hide her grossly negligent, her gross negligence. You know, and I just see that as being worthy of being looked at from a grand jury.
This is what I'm actually writing on my Facebook page, because I'm getting bashed by a lot of people, you know, who don't understand why, you know, using platforms that I have, I might be able to persuade, you know, some people to not vote for Hillary Clinton. And they're saying to me, Eric, you know, if you're not with her,
voting.
You're with him. I'm sorry?
You haven't said one thing about voting.
Right. But you're right. But what they're saying is because I'm bashing Hillary, you know, or they perceive it as being bashing, that they're saying
right.
that people might be turned off, or at least people who listen to these platforms
Maybe we can get people to dig deeper, you know, and maybe that's
right.
what the whole intent of this is. Because, again, I'm not a Hillary Clinton hater. You know, I'm not a big lover of her either. But, you know, at the end of the day, this is the news of the day. She walked away from being gross negligence in a very in a situation where information has to be secure. Sorry. You know, if we're chasing down Snowden around the world for what he did, what's the difference? Think about that. Now they're talking about letting Snowden come back in. You know, that's all a whole other thing. But, you know, it's the same exact thing. That information was breached. There's no way in the world you could tell me that it wasn't. It had to have been breached. Because if it wasn't breached, there wouldn't be a topic of conversation. Because she hid the information by deleting those 30,000 emails. I mean, what else can you say? That's circumstantial as you can get.
So I'm going to play the next clip. So I played the clips now that talked about the fact that you don't need intent, but if you needed intent is there, right? We played the clip that talked about what gross negligence was, and now here's the clip that says that if the it talks about the responsibility or of the Department of Justice, and if they don't do their job, you know, what that means.
I think not to indict her, at least under Section 793, subparagraph F, which makes gross negligence a crime, having found that she was extremely negligent, is an abdication of their duty to treat everyone fairly under the law. Just because she's Hillary Clinton, she should not be treated differently than David Petraeus or Mr. Jones, who works for the CIA.
Okay. So,
right out of the horse's mouth.
Right. So here you have it, man, where if I'm telling you, it's going to be challenging, man. It's going to be really, really challenging.
Here's my question. What does Bernie Sanders do with this information?
Well, somebody asked me that on my Facebook page today. They said, well, I thought Bernie Sanders said he was done with the emails. And what I responded was, yeah, because Bernie Sanders believed that Lady Justice was truly blind and that she was going to administer justice fairly, right, and without prejudice.
Dispassionately, right. Okay.
Right. But Lady Justice peeked from underneath the blindfold.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened today. Lady Justice peeked from underneath the blindfold and saw it was Hillary Rodham Clinton and changed her mind about being impartial, right, and handing out justice. As a result, Bernie Sanders, who was relying on Lady Justice to do her job, I believe now has to step forward and talk about it. I believe that he would be abdicating his responsibility to the millions upon millions of supporters who said they support him because of his truthfulness. Out of all of the candidates, all of them.
Now, then how hard will the cry of sour grapes be against Bernie Sanders? What would the media, especially the left-slanted media, MSNBC and the like, what would they do with that? They would tear bang Bernie Sanders limb from limb just because, like you said, he's doing with the responsible thing and bringing the issues to the people of the United States of America.
Sure, I think that, well, look, Bernie Sanders has proven over and over again that it's really not the mainstream media that defines him, right? It is the millions upon millions of supporters who define who he is. So when they try to have
that.
A blackout, right, Bernie Sanders was still able to raise
They discredited you first. His discrediting would come through sour grapes. You think about it. That he lost the race and now he's going to stand up against Hillary when he's supposed to be coming together with Hillary, because when is the convention? In 3 weeks.
The 17th, right. Yeah. Right. So, well, it is for sure a conundrum, but here's the question that you have to ask, right? When you're asking whether or not somebody is prepared to abandon their moral compass, because that's what you're asking, right? At what point do we abandon our moral compass in order to win? So you have a golfer who nobody's watching him, right? He takes a practice swing and accidentally hits the ball. Nobody sees it. Does he put the ball back or does he tell them that he struck the ball? Right? Because that's what we're talking about, right?
Right.
So we're talking honesty. And so in this instance, one would say that that Bernie Sanders should begin to coalesce around Hillary Rodham Clinton so that he can begin to unite the Democratic Party. The question I'm asking you is this. If Bernie Sanders knew that Hillary Rodham Clinton just murdered somebody, would you ask him to coalesce around her? Would you ask him to do that? Or does he have a responsibility?
Bernie Sanders finds out that she used that 1% of the government of America to be able to cut a deal, and that's essentially what she's doing. She cut a deal to be able to not have her name besmudged with an indictment. That's intense. You understand what I'm saying? You look at it. But the fact of the matter is, yes, she's a front runner, but would she be the front runner, if an indictment hit her? And I have to say, hell no.
No. And then Bernie would be sitting there with the next amount of votes, and he would probably get the nomination, you know, at the convention. So, I mean, does he stand back, you know, with everything on the table when you have this type of information out there in the main media to say, well, it's possible that her server was breached? It's possible, and that it's also positive that she was grossly negligent in using that server and destroying the information in the server. I think I would make the argument. What does he have? What does he have left? Vermont.
Right. So do
he
you
has
see got, now.
He hasn't gotten rid of. He hasn't gotten rid of the Secret Service detail yet.
Well, look. So, I think that a guy like Bernie Sanders is. You know, is feeling pretty good. Not great, but he's feeling pretty good. And I think he's feeling pretty good because he's fought on the front lines of all of this stuff for decades, right? And so now you have a guy who was in obscurity, political obscurity in Vermont, and now he is a national icon amongst, of all people, millennials.
The rock star.
He's a rock star.
He's an 80-year-old rock star.
Wait, no, 74, man. Don't put any extra age on. 74, brother. 74. Come on now. I heard you guys slip that one in there. I heard that. But he's 74 years old, and he is a rock star. And so, yeah, he's riding that, and he's loving it. And then there's no reason why he shouldn't. He's feeling like the American people have finally. But here's the question, though. Here's the question I want to pose to you, Eric. So you have people who are saying that Bernie Sanders people need to just get on board. Well, firstly, right. I think it's a falsehood to believe that Hillary can win without Bernie Sanders supporters. And there are people out there saying
that. I'm pretty sure that's the case. I'm pretty sure that's the case.
Right. But there are people
pretty
out
sure.
there saying she doesn't need his supporters. But if we can agree that she needs the supporters, and that she has yet to be able to move him over.
I'm sorry, he got 50% of the vote. You know, minus 4 million. I mean, that's close.
Right.
I mean, you know, no matter how you look at it.
Right, and she's going to need some of those.
And
they are. I mean, Bernie's. I mean, not only does she know that, and I think she does, but Donald Trump has to know it too. But here's the question that I want to ask: is if we tell our kids, go to school, get an education, get some smarts about you, right? And
right.
So now these kids have gone off to college, and they have smarts about them. Those are the millennials. Those
right.
millennials, in large number, have voted for Bernie Sanders. And
absolutely.
Now you're asking people, you're asking those millennials, those college millennials, you're asking them to abandon reason. You're asking them to ignore their eyes and ears, right?
Right.
And not believe what they see and believe what they hear, and to vote for Hillary irrespective of all of that stuff.
Right.
That's a hard pill for them to swallow, I think.
I don't think that it would drive them to the Republican side of things. I think it would drive them not to vote. That's
right.
What I believe.
And but what do we know? But what do we know about low voter turnout? When there's
low voter turnout, Republicans win.
And so, ergo, the reason why people are bashing me, saying to me, Eric, the fact that you're doing this to Hillary and other people are doing this to Hillary is going to put Donald Trump in the White House. But what if I said to you, no, Hillary's behavior put Donald Trump in the White House? Ah. See?
Well, not only even that, Eric, and I think you touched on it, you know, right before then. The fact of the matter is your vote, and my vote, my grandmother told me, your vote is precious. You know, people died for the right that you have, you were born with, you know. And when you make that choice, you make as solid a choice as you could possibly make that affects you directly. So, you know, when you ask somebody to go against that type of advice, I mean, if they had that advice, and I'm pretty sure most people tell them, you know, this is a personal choice. You know, most parents say that to their children when you know, it comes to that decision. And you make a wise decision as you possibly can. So you're asking those individuals to go against what they believe, what they've been taught, and what's, you know, the right thing to do at the end of the day, to just elect somebody based on the fact of politics. You know, you look at the fact that we haven't had a Democratic president in succession of each other and since and then forever. You know, so this would be a first in a very long time where you have back-to-back Democratic presidents, and one serving 8 years and another one probably going to serve another 8 years if elected. So, I mean, they're looking at that type of legacy. Those are the things that made that decision today, I believe, to, you know, to say, well, you know what, we're going to hold off on a recommendation of such because, you know, we have all this on the table, you know. And that's what I see. You know, it was just a decision, you know, all right, fine. Did anybody die? No, we don't know that. Was anybody truly compromised to the point where we should make a move like that? We don't know that. So at least, you know, coming out of a year-long investigation where hundreds of millions of dollars were spent in the effort, I think that the United States public deserves a little bit more than, well, you know what, I'm just going to not recommend that she be indicted, you know, she running for president and all, you know. And for the president to use the bully pulpit to his employee, you know, Ms. Lynch, to say, you know, well, I'm going to go on a recommendation of the people that made the recommendation, you know, not to, prosecute, you know, our beloved Hillary. You know, I could care less about what people think, you know, as far as what her chances are and what they would be, you know, if something came against her. Because, again, like you said, she made those decisions. I didn't make those decisions.
Right. Well, to the point that you just made about nobody getting hurt, right, nobody being harmed, to the point that Director Comey made where he inserted intent, mm-hmm. What I'll say to you is this. There is no intent. The Congress did not require intent.
No, intent.
Right,
intent
that was
is
added.
The pink elephant, Keith. It's the pink elephant. It's the thing to misdirect the public's vision or view on what it's supposed to be looking at. We're not supposed to be looking at intent. We're supposed to be looking at gross negligence.
Right. That's all we're supposed to be looking at. Right, and the point of having the statute that criminalizes gross negligence is to simply underscore that the government officials have a special obligation to safeguard national defense secrets. That's it, right?
That's
and then
it.
When they fail to carry out those obligations due to gross negligence, they are guilty of a serious wrongdoing. That is it, right there. That's it. I'm going to say that to you again. The point of having the statute that criminalizes gross negligence is simply to underscore that government officials have a special obligation to safeguard national defense secrets when they
right.
fail to carry out their obligation due to what? Gross negligence, or as
that's
Comey said, extreme negligence. They are
punishable
guilty of serious wrongdoing. Right? And so the fact that the intent to harm our country, you know, was mentioned, that's irrelevant. People never intend to do bad things that happen due to gross negligence. That's
right.
True too, right? You know,
right.
When you drive your car and you're drunk driving, that's gross negligence, right?
Absolutely.
But you don't intend to kill anybody when you're driving your car. You're not intending to kill anybody. That's not your intent. Your intent is to get home, but you kill
right.
somebody.
In the
right?
process.
And so, in the process, right. So, but the intent is not the issue. If the police officer pulled you over, it is the negligence. It's the gross disregard, right, for things, right? So we go back
no,
to
well,
gross
no.
negligence.
He pulls you over because you were swerving because you were drunk. He pulled you over because you didn't use a blinker when you went to the next lane. And why? Because you were drunk. You were negligent in your ability to be able to operate that vehicle. So, I mean, let's look at it, bro. I mean, I've had a drink or two and gone out and driven. Forbid if I ever got caught doing that, which I've never. But the fact of the matter is, I was negligent. You know, did I face charges for that? No. Why? Because I made it home safely. But at the end of the day, if I was caught and pulled over because I didn't put my blinker on and he smelled alcohol on my breath, I am in big trouble. And I surmise to you that Hillary has alcohol on her breath.
Oh, whew. We're going to take a commercial break. We'll be right back after that.
Everyone likes data because when you have more data, you have more freedom. Freedom to do whatever. That's why AT&T is offering you 15 gigabytes for $100 plus $15 for each line. Because the more data you have, the more freedom you can enjoy. Freedom to post more memories, download more fun, and share what matters most with who matters most. 15 gigs of data for $100 plus $15 for each line at AT&T. What more could you want? I sure can't think of anything. AT&T. Mobilizing your world.
Come in now and get the all-new LG V10, designed to capture, edit, and share high-quality video.
Pricing is monthly for service on smartphones on AT&T Next. Other pricing options available, overage monthly, and other charges and restrictions apply. See a store for details.
Hey, this is Eric and Eric, right? Bring you all things political. You know, every Tuesday, call in number is 646-668-2232. So, I mean, that was a mic drop moment, man. You know, he says that she's got alcohol in her breath. I
think about it, bro.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You know, and the issue all started. Look at where the issue started. The issue started with Benghazi. That's how this whole thing started, right? Because they said, well, was there correspondence, you know, between you and the ambassador? You know, what did you talk about? Well, and then that even came out. I forgot who the press secretary was for the White House, who they sent out to say. And then understand this, people. Here's another issue. Hillary Rodham Clinton sent this press secretary out to say that the thing that happened in Benghazi happened because of videotapes, right? And then they determined that wasn't the case. So they drew back the comments. They walked them back. They tried to pivot. They tried to do it. So there's more dishonesty, just more and more and more dishonesty. You know, that is surrounding, you know, the Clintons. But it started off with Benghazi, and they asked, well, what did you know about Benghazi? What did the ambassador say to you about his danger or his lack of security or any of those kinds of things? And then she was hedging, and they said, well, let's look at the emails. Well, she said, well, I don't have any emails. They said, well, so now they had to go and subpoena the emails. Then in the subpoenaing of the emails, they said, wait a minute, you have your own server? Right. And they started digging deeper. And then they realized there were gaps in emails. And those gaps in emails were gaps because she deleted 34,000 emails.
Oof.
And the FBI director, let me run this one last point. The FBI director today, what did he say? He said that for all intents and purposes, the lawyers were indiscriminately deleting the emails. They weren't reading them before they were deleting them. They were just deleting the emails.
Right. Now, she said she didn't delete the emails. That was the issue. That it was somebody under her that deleted these emails. It wasn't her.
Well, no. She's saying that she's saying her lawyers deleted them.
But here's the thing, though, E. Here's the thing. What in the world, and this is just me talking, what in the world prompted her to think that she needed a private server? What in the world would, you know, when you have the United States government who pretty much invented computers and put it into the public domain, where they probably would be more safe than anybody in the world to protecting information while you can't hack, those computers. I mean, it's harder to hack computers than any computers in the world. So what in the world would make her think that she would have the ability to have that kind of security, and especially needed at her level of government, to have a server in somebody's closet out in Denver that was running the server for her. In their closet, in the bathroom. What would put somebody to say, I'm that high and mighty that I need a private server? And I don't know dick shit about computers. Excuse my language. But she even said that on the earth. I don't know anything about computers. She knows nothing about computers. So who was it that told her, or was it her, that decided that she needed a private server? And for what reason? That's where it starts.
Well, that's a question to be asked. But, you know, she didn't answer that question. She hasn't answered the question of who authorized her to have a private server, too. Right? Because you got to understand. I mean, think about it. Think about it, man. You're there. Nobody else has a private server. Other people use private emails. Colin Powell used his private email. Didn't have a private server. The difference in a private email and a private server is this. My private email is ericascreative@gmail.com. That's my private email. If I go to work for the city of Newark, I'll have a .ci.nj.us email, right?
Correct.
Probably edawson.ci.whatever, right? So that would be my
Newark,
government
at Newark,
email.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
At Newark, right. So now, if I use my personal email, my private email, which is ericascreative@gmail.com, if you wanted to subpoena my emails for I guess it would have to be a really good reason, right?
You'd
be able to issue that subpoena to Google.
Right.
Google would then be required to retrieve from their servers my email.
Right.
So even though I'm deleting the email off of my computer,
it's still available.
The gap spaces on those servers, it's still available. Right? I can't
Absolutely.
Go and try to erase it or do whatever. It's there.
No.
Here, what she was able to do was, because it was her server, she was able to go. Right. That's absolutely right.
That's absolutely right. Big point.
And that's a problem.
I mean, you think about it.
It's a big problem.
So now it's gone, or presumed gone. You know, he didn't say a million pieces for nothing today. You know, he wanted to make the job that they did look so tedious and so thorough that, you know, they went through millions and millions of pieces of information, of defragged emails to piece together what they have today. And, you know, and I beg to differ on that. I believe that at that level, they have the ability to put those emails together and knew exactly what was going on, and somebody knows what exactly happened. Because unless they burn the server, unless they destroyed the data in that manner, that information should be able to be grabbed out. And, you know, and I believe they did that. I just believe that. You know, there's nothing to tell me otherwise.
You know what? A listener of mine just sent me a text message, right? Or I should say a listener of ours. And what she said is, as a graphic artist or a contractor, I'm expected to know enough not to use content that aren't licensed, right? So meaning that I can't just go and pick up a photograph and decide to use that photo, right? I got
to
make sure that I
have the rights to the photo, right?
Right, and I have to secure the proper licensing in order to be able to use that photo. And so one would imagine that Secretary of State would be very clear on what the rules of engagement in terms of that job were. And not to do so does not absolve her of the law, right? So if I used an image, and you know what? I'm going to give you a classic example. Here's a classic example. You had a well-known, so well-known that I don't remember his name, but a well-known actor, right, that saw a morbidly obese, little girl, drinking what I guess was like a big gulp or something. So he took the photo, used the photo in a
I think it was Instagram, and put text on top of it that said, you know, parents are irresponsible or something like that. Anyway,
right, right.
Somebody told the parent that they saw the kid's picture on Instagram.
Right.
They actually sued the person.
Right? Absolutely.
And so he can't say, well, I didn't know. I wasn't aware. That's not the point, right? The point is that when you were on here, it was your obligation to understand all of the laws, right? Behind
ignorance, and they'll tell you, ignorance is not a defense. You know, it's not a defense, bro.
It's not, man. You know, and so, I am not trying to bash Hillary Rodham Clinton. We can do our next show. We can trash Donald Trump. I put an article, actually it wasn't an article, but it was an editorial piece. It says Trump's
Donald
Atlantic
who?
City windfall. I'm sorry?
Donald who? Donald who? We don't even know who's Donald.
Oh, listen, man. Oh, no, no.
He's falling
from
grace,
he's well
bro.
In this race.
Yeah,
he's well
sad
in
to
this
say.
Race.
Sad to say. But, you know, let me see. I don't know if there's that many white males in the country that actually have them elected. But like we said earlier, if we get Democrats not to go out and vote, you know, for a candidate, then I don't know. It's a 50-50 if you ask me, because that's what it looks like.
Right, but the other thing is a ruling like this, right? A ruling like this stirs the pot. Don't you agree? That when you have a bunch of people, right? So you had Bernie Sanders and you had Donald Trump both chiming in that they were outsiders and that the system was rigged and corrupt and all of those
mm-hmm.
things. And so
mm-hmm.
now you have the epitome of corruptness,
mm-hmm.
right?
Where, right before
again,
your eyes.
I'll give you
right.
all the timeline right before your eyes. You had the president go to Arizona for no good reason, landed his plane,
waited
there
the
because
general.
He knew that she was coming. He waited. They said he waited. Then he exited his plane, boarded her plane. So they had a 30-minute private conversation. Oh, and I forgot this part.
He had a chat. It was a chat. They were chatting.
They said, right, but they said no cameras. They didn't want anybody to take pictures of them. So I'm trying to understand this. Look, when have you known Bill Clinton not to want to take a picture?
When have you known Barack Obama not to want to take a picture?
Right, but he wasn't in this one. This was Bill Clinton and Loretta.
And Loretta White, okay.
Loretta Lynch, right, at Tarmac. So
okay,
Bill Clinton, who's standing there, right, why wouldn't he want a picture with her? Unless he didn't want that meeting to be documented.
Documented.
That's why he didn't want a picture. And that,
Mr.
And
Graphic
then,
Artist,
if
absolutely.
And if it weren't for a rogue reporter, a lone reporter there in Arizona, breaking this story, we would never have known. So the only thing that really messed this up, I want you to understand this, the only thing that really messed this up was the fact that Bill Clinton met with Loretta Lynch. See, because had he not met with her, right, the FBI would have done their investigation, right, and then they would have concluded, and then Loretta Lynch would have said, based on the FBI's investigation, we're not moving forward to indict her. But now the wrench in this whole thing is that Bill Clinton met with Loretta Lynch. That's what
Bill Clinton is a lawyer. His wife is a lawyer. President Obama is a lawyer.
Well,
They know how to circumvent the law. How is it possible that a private citizen can get a meeting with the attorney general on a tarmac? Tell me. Because he can.
Okay, so wait a minute. Wait. So somebody wrote in to me because I asked the question, what is the difference between extreme negligence and gross negligence, right? And their reply is this. There is a difference between extreme carelessness
Now, I didn't say carelessness, right? We said negligence, but this
right.
person replaced my word, or not just my word, but the word in the statute, as well as the words of the FBI director. And she says
right.
there's a difference between extreme carelessness and gross negligence. But we didn't say extreme carelessness. It's extreme negligence. And she says extreme
right.
carelessness means that an error occurred and should have reasonably been identifiable. Gross negligence is a deliberate disregard for following policies, right? So this is what I said to you earlier, E. You know, the person, you know, committed a illegal procedure on a football field, right? But because this person is wearing a Hillary Clinton jersey, right?
Right.
And she's rooting for the Hillary Clinton team, and the flag was against Hillary Clinton, she doesn't see it. And she even went as far as to change the word. My question, very specific question was, nowhere in there does it say carelessness. Neither in what I'm saying,
well,
what the statute says.
You didn't say it. Scooby said it. We played Clint. That's where the information came from.
No, he said, no, he didn't say carelessness. He said extreme
negligence.
I'm going to play the clip again. I'm sorry? What are you saying?
I said correct. Absolutely. He said he said negligence.
Right. And so where did this person, this rah-rah Hillary Clinton person, get carelessness from? Well, they got carelessness because they're trying to downgrade it so that they can say, well, see, she's absolved because it's carelessness.
Right.
But the FBI director didn't say carelessness. He said extreme negligence. And the statute
that sounds like legalese to me. That's legalese. I mean, you can use words to describe, you know, different words to describe the same thing.
I think it's something more grotesque, if I can, in what she did. See, legalese would be the difference between extreme and gross, right? But
right.
when you say careless and negligent, there's difference there. There's a big difference
means
there.
Gross means a lot. You know, extreme means like a lot with prejudice, if you ask me. You know, I mean, for instance, you leave your kid in the car with the windows open unattended. That's gross negligence. You leave your kid in the car unattended with the windows rolled up and it's 90 degrees. That's extreme negligence. So there is a difference.
Okay, so extreme. The word extreme means furthest from the center or a given point, the outermost.
Right.
That's what extreme means, right?
Right.
So now gross, right? We're going to look up gross.
Gross.
Right? So gross means, let's see, an amount equal to, well, it says to 12 dozen, a gross profit without taxes, income. They don't really go into the definition as described there. But listen,
you have to look at the adjectives of gross.
Yeah, we'll go down there. Oh, well, I'm at the adverbs, nouns. So, adjectives, unattractive, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whole, entire, complete, full, over,
right.
full, overall, right?
Right.
So, extreme seems to be a worse thing than gross. But listen, man, as always, bro, we're running out of time, and I hope our listeners were able to get some information from us regarding the difference between extreme and gross and whether careless or negligent should be used. But at the end of the day, we're parsing words, or as my grandmother says, straining gnats, right?
The fact
of the matter is, I believe that the FBI rewrote the law in order to give Hillary Clinton a break.
And she got it. Signing out.
And she got it. Signing out, bro. See you next week, E.
You've been listening to Eric Dawson talking politics and breaking down the issues. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. for all things political.